Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com and now on canvr.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. Today, an important young member of the Orange and Black bullpen will be our guest, but first, let's hear from our sponsors. 1954 was a very good year. Before the Orange and Black moved out west, their New York predecessors won the World Series that season. That same year, Mitchell & Mitchell Insurance Agency started helping dentists with their life and disability insurance. Eventually, they expanded to all lines of insurance for small to mid-sized businesses. Now, Mitchell & Mitchell has 6 locations throughout California offering all lines of insurance. They even do financial planning. So call them today at 888-512-8878. That's 888-512-8878. Mitchell & Mitchell Insurance Agency. Jones goes back near the wall, shading the sun, and he dropped it. He lost the ball in the sun. Let's put the sun to good use at home with a SunPower residential solar system. Your SunPower elite dealer, SunFirst Solar, has a wide range of financing options, and they provide the finest customer service from start to finish, regardless of size or scope. SunFirst Solar offers the highest efficiency systems, newest technology, and the best warranty in the world. SunFirst Solar offers the most competitive price while not compromising on quality. This summer, let the sun heat your pool and eliminate your energy bill. Don't drop the ball. Call SunFirst Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. 5870 and get your SunPower solar system today. Today's guest from Scottsdale, Arizona is Giants right-handed reliever Derek Law. Derek, how do you compare this spring training to others, you know, since you've already been on the major league team and you're getting ready for the season? How different is it?
It's a little different. I try and treat it the same way, though. You know, I don't ever want to have that comfortability. I just want to, you know, keep on the grind, I guess you could say. Really, the off season was a little different for me because I didn't know how to, you know, start, when to start throwing, stuff like that. And, you know, for the World Baseball Classic starting, we started earlier, so I wasn't really sure how to, you know, go about my business and getting ready for spring training opposed to me just getting ready for the season, coming in and competing for a spot. So it's a little different.
How has that worked out, and where do you want to be, you know, as you go along, you know, second week of March, third week of March, and then ready for the major league season?
Right now I'm right where I want to be. You know, I'm just kind of easing along. You know, they don't want me to throw too much, but, you know, enough to obviously get ready. Right now I feel great. I feel like I'm ready for the season, so I don't know if I did that right or wrong, but, you know, I guess it's always a learning experience coming into spring training.
How different do you think it'll be this year? I mean, first of all, you don't have those veteran guys like Sergio Romo here anymore, or Javi Lopez, and you've got a new closer in Mark Melanson. How do you think that will change everything as far as the roles for you guys in the bullpen?
I don't think too much. Obviously, you miss those guys, you know, their accolades and everything like that. Wisdom from Javi, you know, Sergio, you can't replace World Series rings with anything. But I think, you know, signing Mark kind of fills that void a little bit. You know, he has some experience. You know, he's hungry, he wants to win, and I think that says a lot about a leader of a bullpen. So I think that will kind of just trickle down and fill in the roles, you know.
How did that work for you too, you know, going up to the veteran guys and learning from them? Because, you know, you have your own style, you've been around, and then you know, you have the veteran guys who they have their own style. But what was it that really kind of clicked for you to learn from them?
Well, Javi Lopez was next to me in the locker room every day. So every day I would walk in and learn something new. You know, I mean, I would just kind of honestly just watch them, watch how they go about their business. You know, they're so, especially him, he's so professional. Every day he would just come in and, you know, do things the right way. And that's how I wanted to do things. So I would just kind of watch him and, you know, take notes on that.
You had to come back from injury, and that's never an easy thing to do. So how much do you appreciate just being healthy after what you've been through, to have to go through surgery and everything?
Oh, it's amazing. The year after my surgery, it was rough. You know, I never felt good. Even a little bit last year, it wasn't great. But coming into this spring training, I feel amazing. You know, my arm feels 110% finally. I can let it loose when I want to and not feel any aches or anything like that. So it'll be exciting to get this show on the road here and see how the season pans out and how my arm feels and stuff like that. But it's just it's a long road, and you look back and you're like, man, I can't believe I did that. And then now you're finally here, and you're like, sometimes you take it for granted, but I try not to.
You working on any new pitches?
Trying to get that Melanson cutter, but I don't know how that will work out.
Well, not everybody can throw the cutter. I mean, it seems like it's a real feel thing. I mean, how much do you work on it?
It is. Yeah, Josh Oshitz had a pretty good one too. And, so I tried to work on it last year with him in spring training, and it kind of started working out, and then I kind of lost it. It became a slider. So I'm just trying to figure out that fine line in between of, what makes a slider, what makes a cutter. Like you said, it's a feel pitch. So for me, it's, getting my hand on top of it a little more and maybe not getting around it as much.
I would imagine this is a time where it's a lot easier to work on something like that. If you tried to put that in the middle of the season, wouldn't that be pretty difficult?
Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes it just comes up, and then you're like, oh, wow, I found it. And then you try it in a game, and, wow, it works. So, I mean, like the quick pitch last year for me, I just tried it. It worked in a game, so I continued doing it, and I had success with it.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Cueto just does that on a regular basis. How did that come about for you, and how do you keep your mechanics in order with that?
I just felt that my windup, the way it was not similar, but the way he did it, there was a point, there's just that, not a balance point, but there's a certain point where, you feel like you can do it. So I was just messing around with it on, flat ground playing catch. And I stumped my catch partner. I forget who it was. And he's like, whoa, that got on me quick. I'm like, well, maybe I should try that. And, like a week or two went by, I practiced a little more. And then I tried it in Atlanta the first time, and it worked. And as I got off the mound, Buster was like, man, that's a pretty good pitch. I'm glad other pitchers don't do that. I'm like, well, yeah, maybe I should keep doing it. He's like, yeah, I think you should. So I was like, well, if Buster says it, I should probably keep doing it.
Well, it is all about, messing up the hitter's timing. So, I mean, I guess some hitters are just going to be ready no matter what. I mean, are you going to maybe use that for some hitters as opposed to others?
Right now in spring training, they want me to, wait until, my arm speed catches up to do that. So it does take practice, though. Midseason last year when I started it, I kind of had like a little rough bout a little bit, leaving pitches up. Sometimes your arm lags behind a little bit and you leave pitches up. So it is practice, but it's kind of like a feel thing. I kind of try and watch Johnny, and you kind of try and watch the hitters, and if they're out front of the ball, high leg kick, stuff like that. But for the most part, it's more of a feel thing, like a cutter. Like, you just kind of feel like the right time is the right time. Sometimes it might be the wrong time. They might hit it out of the park, but, you try and stump the hitter, they're trying to hit the ball, so.
Yeah, I would think it's not something that a pitching coach normally encourages you doing, but, I mean, if it's working for somebody, it's one of those things where it doesn't work for everybody, right?
Right. I don't think it's really encouragement, but, I think there's certain guys that can do it. Some guys have a feel for it, some guys don't, but, for me, like I said, it was a success last year, so I think they're going to let me do it.
We'll have more with Giants right-hander Derek Law in just a moment. A new art book about the lives of minor league baseball players is coming out soon called Fantasy Life, and the author, Tabitha Soren, will be joining us during the season to talk about the book. In the meantime, check out her lecture on Sunday, March the 19th at 4:30 p.m. in Scottsdale. So if you happen to be going to the Giants games in spring training, right near Scottsdale Stadium, there's a Civic Center Auditorium, and that's where Tabitha Soren will be giving her lecture. Sunday, March the 19th, 4:30, as she discusses stories on her 15-year project on America's Favorite Pastime. Well, as a team, you guys fought hard in that second half of the season at the end of the year, because it was a weird year. I mean, the first half was great, then there was that big tail off, and then you guys, make that push for the playoffs, and it was just, great series against the Cubs, and then it just doesn't work out. So how did it last with you? Was it hard to let go of that last game, you know, the way it ended with the lead and everything, and the Cubs, you know, end up taking it, and then they win the World Series?
Oh, absolutely. The second part of the season was such a grind. You know, nobody likes losing, especially how we were losing. It was just always seemed to be at the end of the game, you know, close game, and, you know, we're this close, and we just lose. But obviously then we made that push, and I think that made it hurt the most. Obviously how we lost in the playoffs, but, you know, we made that push, and we really believed we were going to be World Series champions. So especially for me as a rookie watching these guys, and, you know, everybody else believes it, so you really start to believe, like, hey, we're going to be champions. And then to lose like that late in the game, you know, I was part of the loss. So I've never been a part of the postseason, and for me it's just like, I mean, that really hit home. I was like, man, this is, like, not fun. You know, losing's not fun, period. I'm more of a hate-to-lose more than love-to-win guy. So it just hit me hard, and it definitely stuck with me all offseason. You know, workouts and stuff like that, like, anytime I needed an extra rep or something like that, I was thinking of that for sure.
Anything that your dad taught you growing up that you could apply to something like that since he played professional baseball?
A loss like that?
Yeah, or just, you know, just the, you know, getting over something, going into the next year. And even just, you know, being a guy who's closed games, you got to get over things quickly, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, that's part of the game. I think that's one of the things that, you know, you're taught as a little kid. You know, it's not a successful game. You know, you're gonna have your downs more than your ups. So I think that's one of the main things that I would take from him. More than anything, but I think everybody knows that in this locker room. You know, you can't really harp on it too much or else it's going to get to you.
Have you guys been able to have fun as a group, you know, coming up together, being young guys? Like, you know, you, Osich, even Hunter Strickland is relatively new to the major leagues. You know, getting your feet wet and kind of all learning together. Is there a good camaraderie?
Yeah, that made it comfortable for me. I've been spring training since 2014, so once I got up, you know, Buster and Bum, you know, guys you're nervous to meet and be with, you know, they were here like, hey, welcome here, finally, it's about time you're here, like, you're here to help us win. So, and then obviously I was in the corner with Osich, Strickland, I mean, guys that Corey, I rehabbed with him, guys that I've been around, so it was just really comfortable. I mean, I think that starts with, you know, front office, coaches, leaders like Buster, like that, you know, you feel comfortable walking into the locker room and being able to just play the game and, you know, go about your business.
You think that's something that you will pass on? I mean, you see a guy like Christian Royo in here, and he seems really comfortable. I mean, he's been in Major League spring training before, but he just seems like a guy who's, you know, he's ready to go. Like, he could get the shot and not be intimidated.
Yeah, and that's a guy I think of when I was talking about that. I was probably going to mention him too, which is kind of funny that you brought him up because, you know, like you said, you're a young guy and you're coming into a big league locker room. You don't want to feel uncomfortable, you know. I mean, I think that's the giant way. They do such a great job of that and finding guys that are so good at making you feel comfortable and guys that just mesh along with the group, that if a guy like him comes up, that he's supposed to be there. He's there for a reason. He knows he's there for a reason. We know he's there for a reason. So why not make him feel like he's there for a reason? And that makes him comfortable, and, you know, it's easy to have success like that.
Did it take a while for you to, you know, you mentioned it's a little intimidating to go up to a teammate. What about when you took the mound and, you know, Adrian Gonzalez is standing in there or Giancarlo Stanton? I mean, did it take a while to just forget about who's in the box as far as the name and, you know, what you've seen on TV and you got to get this guy out now?
That's another thing I can take from my dad. He, you know, he says never give hitters too much credit. Doesn't really matter who it is. I mean, obviously when somebody's standing up there, I think my biggest wow, you know, my debut was against Adrian Gonzalez, but I didn't really – now, I was more focused on, like, getting outs, especially with Buster back there. It was my first time throwing to him, so I was more nervous about that than facing the hitter. But I think what really got to me was against Big Poppy. I faced him, and I was like, wow, this guy is in the box right now. Do not make a mistake and have Fenway go crazy right now. So that was and I think I got behind 2-0 to him, like, real quick, and I'm like, all right, you need to get your stuff together right now. But for the most part, I try not to, you know, pay attention to – I mean, you pay attention to hitters in the box and, you know, scouting report, but I think you're more focused on the scouting report and how to get them out than who they are.
Speaking of Fenway, I mean, is that the most intimidating place to pitch? I mean, those fans are rabid. Or is it Dodger Stadium where they hate the Giants? I mean, what did you think in your first full year in the major leagues as far as that?
Man, that's a tough one. I thought a really hostile environment was St. Louis. Their fans were crazy. They were great fans. I mean if there's any comparison to San Francisco Giants fans, that's it, because I hear from people, thank God I'm not an away guy coming into San Francisco, because I hear that's like the worst thing ever. But yeah, I think St. Louis was probably it was pretty tough. The bullpen, I mean, there's fans kind of every in the bullpen, but not really. But once you step out of that gate, oh man, it's just loud, and I don't know, it's just the environment of the place. Fenway was more for me. That's such a majestic stadium, you know, all the history and stuff. So I was more excited about that. I wasn't even paying attention to the fans there, honestly. I was more so looking around and looking back at the monster like, man, that's a green monster.
I better not give up a high fly ball to left. It could be just a can of corn and it's a home run.
Right.
All right, Derek. Hey, thanks a lot for the time and good luck.
No problem. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Giants right-hander Derek Law. A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free T-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free T-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Well, Matt Moore pitched three innings on Tuesday against the Dodgers at Camelback Ranch. Here's what he told the media about where he stands at this point in spring training.
You know, I think just right now, rarely do guys show up, like, you know, day one, like, all right, if the season was to start today, I'm okay. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, you know, we have work to do to kind of knock the dust off the bottle and, you know, get back into that groove where, you know, mid-season where you don't think as much, you know, and it's just things kind of come a little bit easier to you. You know, so I think that just you know, for the three innings I was out there, I was pretty happy with mentally just being able to kind of feel loose out there and attack.
Since Moore pitched against L.A. on Tuesday, I asked him how he reacts to the Giants-Dodgers rivalry.
You know, it was nice being injected into that, just having watched their, you know, their bouts together. It's probably, you know, similar when I was over in Tampa. We didn't really get along too well with Boston. I just think that there's a little bit, yeah, there's a little something extra there, you know, and I think, you know, it's just a part of the history and, you know, how many times, you know, you're going to square up against each other. So it adds to the excitement. It adds to the enjoyment of the game.
I also asked Matt if he reflected over the winter on his near no-hitter last year against the Dodgers.
You know, I think more so than anything this offseason, I really settled into feeling like a Giant. You know, just, you know, in conversations with people, with preparing for spring training, you know, last August on, it really was pretty quick, you know, for me. And I'm sure it's a lot of it's in my own head, just about how fast it seems like things are going. You're moving away from people and people in and out. So it did seem like things were pretty quick. And in the offseason, that was one of those moments, yeah, I went back to, sure.
That's Giants lefty Matt Moore. I want to thank him and Derek Law for joining us today in Arizona. Coming up on Friday, we've got a great podcast for you as we'll hear from John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. He'll be joining us as a regular guest throughout the season again. And we'll hear a little bit from the manager of the Giants, Bruce Bochy. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin from Scottsdale, Arizona on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com.